Blog Talk Radio.
Rene Cheese! Rene, you
Welcome to the Gridiron Blitz Podcast, your weekly source for women's American football, insights, game recaps, and NFL news weekly. Subscribe on Apple and iHeart.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Night Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
Welcome guys to the Gridiron Blitz, 425, Oscar Lopez in the house. We're going to have the Oracle of Women's Tackle Football, Mark Simone, here in about an hour. We're going to be talking everything that's happening in the women's game. You can go right now to figure it out at the hub at facebook.com/GridironBeauties. That is the place to be. The best network on the planet exists at the hub on everything that's happening. Big news today, as we before we came on the air, we had the announcement earlier today that Bill Belichick's foundation was donating a $10,000 grant to the WFA champions, Boston Renegades. You get the article right there at the hub, so you can go there now and kind of check it out. So thanks to Bill Belichick for supporting women's tackle football, especially one of the elite teams in the country, if not the world. So shout out to the Boston Renegades for getting a financial lift there to help them out as an organization and getting them going as well. You can also go to the hub right there. Everything that's happening in the sport right there, front and center, Sweden, Finland, Mexico playoffs, as well as Canada, everything that's happening in the sport besides the WNFC and WFA, all right there for you as the best network on the planet does its job every week, week in, week out, to bring attention to women's American football as a sport. So awesome. We're going to dive into a couple of the things that happened in week 7. Texas almost loses to the Alabama Fire. That was interesting enough. Cali War gets routed by Arlington, and no Wiggins and no Ashley Salerno at quarterback, which we'll be talking to Mark about that and how that happened. And then we're going to be diving into, obviously, the key matchup coming up this week, Boston, D.C. D.C. losing last week to Tampa. Crucial situation there in the East for the D.C. Divas to figure out if they're going to make the playoffs, so a tougher road for them. Also, we're going to dive into D2. That picture has started to get some clarity in terms of the Massey ratings, so we'll dive into D2 briefly with the Massey ratings, and then we're going to dive exclusively to D3 with the Massey ratings, see what that's going to look like in terms of a playoff push. A lot of teams really now getting ready for the road to Canton. A lot of the teams in D3 really are starting to figure out where they stand, and fundraising is going to start right now, probably this week, 2 weeks out before the season ends. A lot of the teams are doing fundraising. So that's crucial for them, because if they can't afford to go to, once they get seated, they can't go forward. They're going to have to forfeit, and that's just a disappointing season to have to forfeit at the end, if even though you made the playoffs or you were assigned to be to the playoffs for the road to Canton. So crucial next 3 weeks for a lot of teams in D2, D3, also for fundraising in women's tackle football, because there's obviously no other option. So fundraising will be huge within the next four weeks. So if you guys can support your local team, local players as well to get them over the hump, they should know where they stand by week 8, even before week 8, should be able to figure out once the WFA announces the playoff brackets. Once they announce the actual road to Canton playoff brackets, we'll be able to figure out which teams are in, which teams are need to do something more, and which teams need help. Crucial for the Women's Football Alliance in terms of the state of the road to Canton. So, and then you'll also get the Road to Canton show this week with Brian Sweeney, Brandy J, Lois Cook, and Alex Westad. So they'll break down everything that's happening in this coming week in terms of where every team stands for the road to Canton. So it's interesting to see which D3 teams right now are, even though they're undefeated, some of these teams might not get in. It's happened in the past, and it's just we'll see how that, you know, transpires with the Massey rating. It's always an initial confusion as we get towards the end of the end of the season. So let's walk into the rundown, the WFA rundown, and we'll start it with it was 20 games this past weekend on the 14th. The Renegades at 5-0, also undefeated on the road, 3-0. They are just rolling right now. They are probably the team to beat in D1, and there's probably nobody close to them in terms of skill level, in terms of scheme, and in terms of just talent level. So at this point, anybody out of the West, whether it be Arlington, whether it be Cali War, whether it be Minnesota, Nevada, whoever comes out of the West will face their biggest test of the season, because though that is the team to beat, that is the multi-time champion. And they were facing on the road in St. Louis, 49-21. They take care of business. It was a real closer game at midway through the game, but St. Louis did keep up at some point midway through there, but the Renegades run off with it late third quarter into the fourth. And so that's your ball game right there, 49-21. The champions continue their streak of undefeated streak as well from last season. They're running into, nobody's able to stop them here. The international backfield of Mata and Kusinen right now just on fire. And you add Cahill and you add Smith and every other weapon that this Renegades team has, and they're fueled to return to Canton and hoist another championship. And if you're in New England, championships are obviously customary. everybody's used to championships in New England, and Boston Celtics in the playoffs as we speak. So championship, that's what the vibe is in Beantown. It's always been that way, and Boston no different in the women's tackle world. So shout out to the Boston Renegades, 49-21. St. Louis, like I said, played their hearts out. St. Louis 2-2, really crucial for them the next 2 weeks in terms of their seeding, and we'll see how that turns out. Arlington down to Cali War. Cali War on the road. And surprising enough, there was no Ashley Salerno and no Chantel Nino Wiggins, which Chantel Nino Wiggins was the quarterback when they beat Nevada last weekend. And now they were just in disarray in this game. You can catch it right there at Semi-Pro Live, courtesy of the Arlington Impact on Facebook. And we shared that feed on there. Catch the game live right there. They were just Jackie Robinson, defensive tackle at quarterback. So there's just a lot of issues going on there in Cali War that we're not aware of, obviously, internally. The only thing we could speculate on what happened here is there was obviously some friction between the quarterbacks, one either walking out or the other could not make the trip. So that was literally our own speculation in terms of that, but we don't know that for a fact. But we do know that Jackie Robinson started, and that probably wasn't the right person to start at quarterback. Arlington takes advantage of that. They're 2-0 at home. They're 4-1 on the road. This team is obviously going to make the playoffs. This is no doubt here. And they would like nothing better to make an impact, pun intended, in this WFA playoff picture. 56-18, they are ready and skilled. And if you watch the game right there, Arlington Impact really working it, and they're really getting ready for the playoffs. They got 2 weeks left here. They should be able to, be shoo-in to get in. The other games obviously were a little bit of a factor. Grand Rapids Tidal Waves taking on Capital City Savages. That was a D3 matchup. Grand Rapids 4-0. They're 3-0 on home, undefeated, 28-21. Capital City 3-2. They're 2-1 on the road. Really good matchup there. Really good game, competitive. That was awesome. Good win for the Tidal Waves to keep them their undefeated streak alive. 2 weeks left in the season. They should also, Massey should be friendly to them in terms of keeping it up. So that should be great. Also have Carolina Phoenix, 4-1 up against East Tennessee Valkyrie. Valkyrie 3-2, started out really hot in the first 3 weeks, and now they've kind of faded out a little bit. So 36-6, Carolina also in that mix for the playoffs. Then you had a battle of two teams going the opposite direction in terms of the Carolina and the Grand Rapids. That's Northeast Ruckus. They take advantage and they beat Connecticut Hawks 20-13. They get their 1-2 on there, 1-4 for the Hawks. Then Detroit back on track after a couple defeats there. Detroit, 35-14 against Derby City. Nobody anticipated Derby City to be in this situation this season. But, you know, obviously coming from D3 as champion into the D2 realm, a little tougher now facing D1 as well competition. They're 1-3, 1-2 on the road. So this is probably not the season that Derby expected to have in D2, but here we are. So 35-14, Richmond, Black Widows, 39-16, Harrisburg, Havoc, Richmond rebounding here, a couple weeks of losses. Now they get a W here. They're 2-1 at home. They just got to keep it rolling here if they want to make some sort of push to get to a playoff state. If they go to 3-3 or 4-3, there's opportunity there for them to make a playoffs as well. Zydeco started off really hot as well, and now they've kind of slid down. 3-2, 2-1 at home, 54-8. They lose to the Houston Energy, and that's the coach that we're going to be talking to today, Houston Energy coach Brian Wiggins, in here in a couple minutes here. He's going to be talking everything Houston Energy, everything in terms of the D2 picture. And then in about half hour here, we're going to have the talented running back of the San Diego Rebellion, the 9-cup runner-up San Diego Rebellion, and that's going to be Adriana Gutierrez coming in to talking Rebellion football pre-9-cup playoff mentality here about 30 minutes from today. So two awesome guests. And then in the second hour, strictly the one-hour women's tackle football talk with the oracle of women's tackle football, and that would be Mark Simone, a.k.a. the backseat coach. All right. Minnesota Mix in developmental league, 14-12, real tough game there. The two good teams there, two developmental teams there. Music City, Route, Cincinnati Sizzle. Cincinnati having a horrible season, 0-3 so far, 0-2 at home. Just not a good season for Cincinnati. On the other side, Music City, 3-1, 3-0 on the road, really good. And they're obviously going to be viewing the Massey ratings as well to see where they stand. Nevada, after the loss to Cali War, tough loss, they go on the road and they take care of business, 63-6. Nevada, Moechen and company there, Sarah Canangelo, Plummer, Jesse Felter, they took care of business against the Portland Fighting Chalkwave. So 63-6. Nevada looks obviously to keep it rebound here. They got a tough schedule going here in the next 2 weeks. They should be able to compete enough to where they get a friendly Massey rating to be into the playoff picture for the playoff bracket. So the New York Knockouts in D3, 5-0, 3-0 on the road, continue 14-10. They get by Maine Mayhem. So awesome victory there for the Knockout. A great season last year. We didn't know what was going to happen. Are they going to be tough enough to compete in the first round? That is the question that we'll have to ask for the Knockout. Can they get out of the first round? And last year was Derby. This year we have no idea who's going to be in their way. But it looks like they've refueled. They got a little bit of more chip on your shoulders. And it looks like the New York is looking to obviously go further into the playoffs. They want to be obviously one of the teams that arrive in Canton for the Road to Canton National Championship. So interesting to see that. We got OKC Lady Fours, who we haven't talked a lot about. Also, last weekend's win against Dallas Elite Mustangs in D1. This week, they keep it going, 27-12 against Cruces Regulators. They're 3-0 on the away from home. They're 2-0 at home. They're 5-0 total. This is a team to watch. This is a team that's going to be up in that rankings for the Massey ratings, considering what they've done so far. And then Oregon Cougars against Seattle Spartans, 15-8. Pittsburgh, 35-6 after that Boston loss. They come back. The Columbus Chaos just having a bad season, 0-4, 0-3 at home, just not able to be competitive this season. So it's a losing season, maybe more so a rebuilding season for the Columbus Chaos. But Pittsburgh does take care of business there. George just doing her thing as well. The Outcast rebound here after a Cali Award loss. You got a couple wins here, 4-1, 3-0 at home, 34-8. They take down 0-5 Sun City Stealth. The Inferno easily take down Daytona, 40-0. It was 45-6. The Nighthawks taking down Tri-State after that crucial battle, 14-13 against the New York Wolves. So rebounds Baltimore, and Baltimore has faced really good competition. I'm pretty sure Massey is going to take that into account and they are going to be the top favorite in D2. We're looking at a rematch clash in D2, if it's going to be the Wolves or it's going to be Baltimore once again, something to watch for. Iowa started off pretty bad. Now they've kind of back to 500 almost, 2-1 at home, and they take down Tulsa 28-12. So looking forward to the week 7 slate of games, which we're looking at 25 games on the docket in week 7 for the WFA. Go to WFAProFootball.com, get the schedules right there, get the breakdowns, the stats, everything that you need. Go to WFAProFootball.com. All right, guys, and don't forget, go to Monkey Knife Fight. Monkey Knife Fight is the prop site. Play NBA right now, play PGA. There's a lot of MMA as well. And as we get further into the next 2 months here, NFL, of course. So check it out, monkeyknifefight.com. Use the code NJF to get started. Get a $5 free play on us. If you guess right on the prop, more or less, you're able to make $15 on our $5 that we give you. So check it out. Be inclined. Go $5 on us. Use the code NJF to Monkey Knife Fight. We're going to be going into the Monkey Knife Fight huddle here. We're going to be talking to the talented coach of the Houston Energy of the WFA D2, and that would be Brian Wiggins, and we'll come here in a second.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
And don't forget, guys, Monkey Knife Fight, code NJF. Get started today in the U.S. and start winning on Monkey Knife Fight. All right, Coach Brian Wiggins, how's it going today?
Man, it's going good. It's going good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
No, we're bringing all the energy for you. How's that?
No pun intended, huh? No pun intended.
No pun intended. I needed to get you on here because a lot of you know, feedback from a lot of some of our media types people. We're just in awe of how you can maintain this program and be competitive against D1, D2, you know, year in, year out. I mean, you've had a good resume from, 2017, 2016 up to now. And Houston, mm-hmm. in terms of the energy, has always been able to put up somewhat of competitive teams. I don't think you've had a real losing season in that time frame, right?
No, sir. We've been competitive year in and year out for whatever reason. We got a good lot of talented girls, some awesome coaches, and we stay competitive. We just got to know how to, you know, basically set our girls up for success, and it's worked out good for us. We haven't won a whole lot of championships, but we're there. We're there. We just got to get over the hump, you know, and hopefully we'll get over the hump this year.
Coach Brian, what do you say of the state of the game in terms of the WFA? D1, D2, your schedule was always in a mix between the top-tier teams and your own competition. And then, obviously, the Texas swing is huge there because you got a lot of teams in the Texas swing in terms of competition. You got Austin, you got Dallas Elite, you got a bunch of teams were obviously in your backyard, Arlington as well. When you guys roll out the schedule, is that a WFA schedule or is that something that you guys dive in and say, these are the teams that we want to kind of just, you know, go up against?
You know, I think a lot of times when the WFA makes the schedule, they obviously want it to be travel friendly as much as they can. There were some teams that I didn't want to play here locally. I'm not so much locally, but here in Texas. But obviously, I want to play the D1 teams. That would kind of give me a benchmark on where we are. And it was a blessing this year. We got a chance to play a Division II powerhouse, the Mile High Blaze. Unfortunately, they came out and they beat us by 2 points, and then we played the Arlington Impact, and they beat us by 4 points. So, I think Mile High beat us by 4 points and Impact beat us by 4 points. But it's a good measuring stick to see exactly where we are. But I will say this. This year, there's been some awesome football here in Texas. When we lost to the Impact, but when that game was over, I was like, wow, that was a good football game. Not so much a women's football game. It was an awesome back-and-forth good football game. I mean, they jumped out on us 20-0. It was 20-0. And then we scored twice before halftime. Then we ended up getting a pick six and scored again. And then we were winning 30-26 with like 2 minutes left in the game. They scored, and then we got the ball back, went right back down, and got as far as I think it was like the 10-15-yard line or something like that. And our receiver caught it and then dropped it when she hit the ground. That would have put it – it would have been first and 10 on the 3 or 4 yard line going in with about a minute left, and she dropped it, and we ended up losing. So at the end of the day, they just made more plays than we did. But I will say this, there's been some awesome football. Win, lose, or draw, there's been some great football played this year here in Texas. So excited about what the future holds for us. Excited about mixing it up this Saturday with the Elite Mustangs, and excited about just kind of really just see how these playoffs turn out and see what these girls can do for the energy. Hopefully we can bring one back home to Houston this year.
Now, Coach Brian, the whole swing there has improved. I mean, Arlington at another level within the last 3 years, they have really stepped up their game, to your point. And that's a benchmark right there locally, because you got a really good team in D1. If you can compete with that, you're good. Now, let's talk about Nevada. Last year, you guys, you know, obviously not, there's no strangers there. It was a great matchup as well. In terms of the Nevada matchup, and you guys have met Nevada before, I think in the IWFL, if I'm correct on my notes. So no strangers there.
Yeah, in 2018, we ended up playing them in the championship, and we beat them for the championship in 2018, and they got their retribution last year in the playoffs. Man, they had a solid team, and you can look at Nevada from back in 18 when we played them, and fast forward to today, it's night and day, but at the end of the day, you got some awesome coaches over there. They got a good program. They got some girls who are willing to do what they need to do to get better, and they've gotten better. And they're a team to reckon. I mean, they get after it. And we lost a tough one in Nevada last year too. I think it was like 14-6 or 14-6. We lost a tough one, man. And We played horrible, but I'm sure we played horrible offensively, probably because of their defense. We got to give them some credit, and they probably made us play not so good. But, again, at the end of the day, they made more plays than we did. They came out with the victory, and then they went up and won the championship, man. They got a very good organization. And you can say the same thing about the Impact. The Impact used to beat them by 40, 50 points. But each year they stayed steady, and, man, they're – last year, we lost to them by a couple points. The year before, every time we play the Impact, it comes down to the very end. I think 2 years ago, a year and a half, yeah, last year or the year, I can't remember, 2 years ago, they won on the last play of the game. And so, yeah, man, it's some awesome football. And these are the types of games that you love coaching in, and you also love playing in. I mean, you have to really watch film. You got to study. The players got to watch film. The coaches have to watch film. So I want to make sure that I call the right plays at the right times. And when you play a team like a Nevada, a Mile High, an Impact, you have to study as a coach. You have to study as a player and come prepared and know situations and know what you're going to call in these situations, because, you know, during the game, man, everything happens so fast. So you have to be mentally prepared as a coach. And those are the games that you absolutely love to coach in, because it's going to challenge you. So, loving it this year.
Lost a couple. It's a key, I think, more because of the pandemic. A lot of players did take ownership of more fitness, being more ready, game planning, studying. I think the change right there, that's what I hear from a lot of the players, that, you know, they got that 1 year of really just chalk talk in certain instances, and they became a lot of better positional players. And I think that was missing in a lot of ways in terms of the women's game, because you don't have that luxury like you do like in an NFL or a college scene, that type mentality. But you were able to give like one season off, and I think a lot of players took advantage and really honed their skills.
You know, I think that's a good assessment. I think a lot of the ladies missed it. And a lot of times you take things for granted. You may not work out as hard. You may not study as hard until it's taken away from you. So, you know, we can't season and like, wow, you know, we should be playing somewhere this week. But what that allowed us to do as a coaching staff was not so much disconnect, But let's learn. Let's do some X's and O's. Let's do some chalk talk. Let's do what we can do via Zoom calls to help you become a smarter football player. You know, a lot of times the women are at a disadvantage from the men because, you know, we've been playing football from Little League, you know, Little League, junior high, high school, college, and then the pros if you're fortunate to go to the pros. But, you know, a lot of these ladies don't get that tutelage, don't get the years and years and years of coaching. So the pandemic year was a good year for just learning, becoming a smarter football player, having a higher football IQ. So this is what we're thinking. You know, what's cover one? What's cover two? What's cover three? And then they just, again, they appreciated the game. They didn't realize how much they missed it. A lot of us take it for granted until it's taken away. So a lot of them either busted their butt, became smarter football players, had a better football IQ, got in shape, and were ready to rock and roll this year. But I will say this, we've had a couple that went in the opposite direction and couldn't seem to push away from the table, and they're sucking wind this year, but they're working hard, so we'll take them as they come.
Now, Coach, your organization, one of the staple teams in terms of the WFA in a lot of regards, even before the WFA in terms of the IWFL, you know, you obviously have had players in the past, legendary players, you know, Jen Walter and some of the Dallas Diamonds, mm-hmm. some of the elite Spartans that are currently over in the WNFC. Some of those players were able to play with you for a season or two and make an impact as well in terms of your program. So it speaks a lot about how you're able to keep this program, you know, year in, year out, but competitive, because there's teams sometimes that just cannot do that. You know, they fall off completely one year, or they're kind of, you know, semi-great the next year, and then all of a sudden they kind of burst into a good year. But you guys have been able to kind of maintain somewhat of a, you know, stable nucleus, at the same time able to stay relevant in terms of a playoff, you know, chase or into a playoff mode. So it speaks a lot about your coaching staff, I think, and it also speaks about some of the, like you said, the teaching in terms of fundamentals.
Absolutely.
Or getting these players up to speed.
Absolutely. I'm big on continuity, and I've had some of the girls, and it's not surprising that the elite Spartans are killing it like they are. I mean, I was blessed to have them come play with the Energy for a year, and they drove down every Friday, and we practiced on Saturdays and Sundays, and they left Sunday evening. But they're a different breed up there, and they take this very seriously. And I think when they came down that season, it took a lot of girls here locally in Houston aback, but it let us know what we need to do to be, you know, successful. I believe in, like I said, continuity. So I've had the same coaches for year over year, it's the same coaches. We don't have a lot of turnover as far as the coaching staff is concerned, but we don't have a specific scheme. We may, you know, some people want to run the spread. Some people want to run the double wing, and they are dead set on running that scheme, but you may not have the athletes to run it. So we don't actually have a scheme that we are just dead set on. We kind of go with the talent that we have. If we can pass a little more, then, hey, we're going to pass. If we have to do ground and pound, we'll do ground and pound. But I think to stay relevant as coaches, we have to assess our talent and be honest and transparent with ourselves. And, you know, I'd love to say, you know, each year you want to shoot for the Super Bowl, but you have to be honest with yourself. And, you know, I played NFL receiver, so of course I want to pass 95% of the time. But if I don't have the talent to pass, it's fruitless to try to pass all the time. So you just got to kind of assess your players, assess our strengths. One of my coaches when I was coming up always said, if you you'll never go broke if you get a profit. It may not be as pretty, but you're gaining yards. You know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. So to me, it doesn't matter. I just believe it's 100% putting the players in the best positions to be successful. I'm not going to put, you know, somebody out at receiver if they're slow and they're not as fast and not as quick. So I got to put them where they need to be successful. And it's worked for us in the past. We come with an open mind and a clean slate. We have coaches meetings, and we just put our players where we think they'll be good at. And it's worked. It's worked over the years, man. There's no egos here. If our quarterback is one of the better DBs, then she'll play DB if necessary. I cringe because of injuries, but, you know, you just got to do what you have to do, and we have to kind of buy into the team concept. And if we win the championship, regardless of what role you play on a team, your ring is no bigger than the next person. So everybody's job is important, and you got to get everybody on the team to buy into that and, you know, all row in the same direction. And we've had some – been blessed to have some awesome players along the way. And every good team that you have internal leadership. The coach can say what the coach says, but you got to have the internal leadership to kind of check the players when they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. You know, push away from the table. Don't drink as much or don't drink at all. You know, you got to have that internal leadership in order to be successful, because the coaches can say what they say, but when everybody leaves practice and goes their separate ways, we don't hang out with them on the weekend, so we don't know what they do. But as long as you have that chemistry, that team atmosphere, and you have your internal leadership, things tend to go in the right direction. And we've been successful over the years, and it's just been a blessing. I've had some great leaders, great coaches, and some great players, and it's paid dividends throughout the years. I'm blessed.
All right. I'm going to tell you this right now, Coach. The DC Divas do a really good job of doing like a Hall of Fame. I would suggest that the Energy go back and backtrack, you know, 10 years of Energy Ball and start basically giving those awards as well, you know, because it's deserving, especially with your organization has done so well over the past years. And it would be nice to just recognize all those amazing talent and players that obviously got you some wins and got you some, you know, some playoff battles and stuff like that. We have a couple players that, you know, we just go by stats and we go by, obviously, game film. But overall, I mean, Kara Haynes just killing it at receiver and running back. You got your quarterback just doing her thing also as well. So, you know, what do you say about Christina and Kara here this year? They're putting you guys on the map here, especially in D2. You guys have played some really good competition overall. I think Massey's going to probably put you at the number two rank at this point as we stand right now. So, you know, those two players have been key so far in terms of a stat sheet. Obviously, offensively, you guys have a pretty decent offensive line as well.
Yeah. You know, Christina, she's a phenomenal quarterback, and Carr is a phenomenal running back / receiver / quarterback / Swiss Army knife, whatever we need her at. But for the most part, I talk about that internal leadership. And Christina Jacobs is a good human being. She's a coach. She coaches softball. Her team, they're actually in the state playoffs right now here in Texas. So she missed our game last week because she had a game on Saturday to coach. But she knows what it takes. She can look at it from the coach's perspective, and she's like a second, you know, second or third, fourth, fifth coach on the sidelines, man. She not only talks it, she preaches it, plus she actually does it. It's not do as I say, it's do as
talk
I
about,
do.
Talk about a benefit, Coach Brian. To have a field general at the helm.
Yeah.
It's very rare in women's tackle football to have, you know, a Cahill-like player, you know what I mean, or at least a Horton-like player, an Allie Hamlin-like player, you know, that can actually make adjustments and that kind of stuff. So that's a bonus, right? That's to a coach.
Man, 100%. When you have I'm not going to lie. We played the Zydeco, and I have the utmost respect for the owner, Mia Ben, but I will not lie. When I knew my quarterback wasn't going to be there, I had some anxiety. We should have won that game. We did win the game, but I had some anxiety just knowing that she's not going to be there. And
sure,
she makes things happen. She does a lot of things unrehearsed on the field, and it makes me look good. Like I called that. So
yeah. Exactly.
Heck of a football like, and when she sees things, she does it. And I said, "What were you thinking, Coach?" I didn't want to say anything. I just did it. And I always tell them, "Hey, whatever you see, do it. But if you go off script, it better work." And so more times than not, she's went off script and it's worked. So At this point, we've been together for 4 or 5 years now. She was there in 2017 was her first year. I think she missed a year somewhere in there because of coaching. But we've been together for, 4 or 5 years now, so I trust her. She's not going to just talk the talk. She's going to walk the walk. She's going to get that extra work in. She's going to get that film study in. I remember probably about 3 or 4 weeks ago, she came over to my house to watch film, and, I'm a film junkie. I had to kick her out of my house. I'm like, hey, it's 11:30. I need to go to bed. I got to go to work. But we're sitting there just grinding, watching film, watching tendencies, doing different things, man. But she's a student of the game, man. And I tell you, man, she makes me look good probably 99% of the time. And she makes when I call a bad play, she'll turn that bad play into a good play. Or, coach didn't mean this, he meant this. Let's do this. And I'll say, why did you do that? Well, coach, we can't run it from this formation. Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, good job. So yeah,
hey,
if it's a
situation where there's an audible situation, like you said, let's rock with it, right? The worst case scenario would be it turns into a mess, and they all know the mess.
Absolutely.
But if it works like you said, hey, I'm all good, right? Beer for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We run these RPOs, and I mean, she's just you can draw it up. And write it and do Zoom calls, but until you actually get out there and do it during some live bullets are flying and during a game, and she just gets it. She just understands, and yeah, I mean, she wants to be here. It tears her apart because she misses some practices because especially now they're in the playoffs. They won last week. They have a one game series Thursday. Sure. So if they win, they continue. If they lose, they're done. So we're going to go out there and support her Thursday, and hopefully they win, man. But field general, you can't understate that more than anything, because she makes me look good 99% of the time.
All right, coach.
And she knows what I'm thinking. She knows what I'm thinking. Go ahead.
So, of course. I mean, like I said, there's a relationship building there, right? It's every coaching quarterback has that, and if you have a good relationship, the playbook works somewhat, like you said, 90% of the time it's successful, if not, 99% of the time successful. And it's a chemistry, and that's the hard part, right? Some of the teams don't have that. And you can tell right off the bat when you play those teams that there's obviously nothing there, or, you're throwing just a rookie to the wolves, as they say, and you already know what you're going to feast on for the rest of the game, as an example. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
But I can say is, you guys are up there. She's ranked number 2, I think, right now in the passing rankings. You got Kara, a number also in the rankings in terms of the stat sheet through week 6. So, credit them too as well, plus obviously your offensive line, as we talked about earlier. And then the defense, keeping it somewhat real as well. Anticipation for – are you cringing when the Masseys come out? Because every coach in the WFA cringes. Like, where are they going to set me up and where am I headed? Pretty much.
That's what I cringe. Like, where are we headed? I to this day, I still don't quite get Massey.
I've been covering this for like 10 years. And I said, what are we doing? How does this work?
So, we'll let the cards fall where they may. Hopefully, it would be great to have some home games. It would be, if we have to travel, we'll travel. We'll do what we need to do, man. But I tell you, we're gonna put our best foot forward and hopefully end up champions this year. Hopefully, bring a trophy home to Houston.
I mean, the road to Canton obviously is a really contested battle. You got New York, who just resurfaced from being out for so long. You got Danielle Ayala out there in New York. You got Kimberly, you saw live over in Malahai. So you got kind of looking at that. You got a couple other players that are kind of relevant in terms of, the scheme for some of the top two D2 teams out there, Baltimore as well, with Lauren, vet talk. But there's just a couple quarterbacks there. D2 is going to be interesting to see where everybody kind of, shuffles in and who becomes the next Nevada, right? That's literally what we're looking for right now. It's like, who's going to become the next Nevada? Who's going to, go to the next level?
Yeah. Nevada, it's amazing what they've done from Division III champions, Division II champions, and man, it's going to be tough, but I think they can do it. They have a unique system and a unique offense, and we've never played against anything like them. And they give you so many different looks, and they're pulling here, running here, take it over here, go over here, man. It's they got a nice. I think their offense is a lot of film study. Puts a lot of thought. A lot of things in a defensive coordinator's head, gives you a lot to think about. And they execute so flawlessly. I mean, everybody's stepping left. Everybody's stepping right. I mean, they fake, they act like they're faking the toss. And, I mean, everybody, they just operate so seamlessly. And it's beautiful to watch, to be honest with you. Even
it's a ballet situation in football. What my coaches would say, when everybody does their thing, it's ballet. Everybody's in stride and everything's great. Coach, I mean, they took down Cali War like a year ago. They battled Cali War like neck and neck, like to your point with you and Arlington as an example. It's just, they just, I guess, welcome the challenge, right? I mean, some teams just, like you said, they want to go to that next level and they want to challenge themselves at the higher level. And that makes everything, the coaching staff, better. It makes the team, like you said, open the eyes for the team, right? Because a lot of the players are going to contribute in different ways. And you got a closer games down to the wire. It's like you said, it's more schematic. And a lot of the players have to think that way too. And it's tough, right?
Yeah, man. They're seamless in their execution. And just to see what they've done over the last couple years, man, it's a sight to see. You can only, hope that you can be half as good as what they're doing. They played Cali. They beat Minnesota a couple weeks ago?
Yes.
They beat Minnesota, and yeah, Minnesota was in the championship last year. So, now, didn't they lose
Brian,
to Cali War
the
last
Minnesota
week?
Game reminded me of that Atlanta, New England Atlanta comeback in a lot of ways. They were down like 26-6. Remember, talk about Matty Ice just being on the sideline, just not doing it. He can't do anything, right? That's literally what happened with Nevada there. I mean, granted, Minnesota got injured. You got no Cooper. You had a couple injuries on the receivers. So bottom line is, those are the breaks. And they got some of the breaks, and they were able to take advantage of it and actually punch one in.
Yep, it's football, man. And the beautiful thing about this is, again, that is good football. Nice game. It's not a blowout. It was good football. And whoever's there watching is on the edge of their seats wondering what the heck is going to happen. That's good for women's football. It doesn't matter what league it is. When we can put competitive games out there, more eyes need to watch women's football, and these girls can play. And as soon as we, there's a lot of teams in both leagues that play some good ball, and it's a beautiful thing when two teams go at it and they play a back and forth game. And again, there you go. It's scheme. It's chess. This coach over here is trying to figure out what they're going to do.
One question that was submitted from our fans on our Facebook page. Coach Brian, will you go to the WNFC? Is there a thought process to go to the WNFC?
Initially when the WNFC started, I'm not opposed to the WNFC. It just, I was already speaking to the WFA, and the WFA has been awesome. And I've just, I've kind of got a home here now. They already have a team in Houston in the WNFC. I guess it could hold two teams, but I guess I'll cross that bridge when it comes. But right now, I'm 100% happy in the WFA. They Lisa has treated me great. I've loved the transition, and we're playing some good football, man. I think we got some fish to fry here first. We got to win a Division II championship. I'd love to win the Division I championship, and if we do that, then I'd look for, maybe a different challenge. But right now, I still got some fish to fry here in the WFA.
So there you go. The question answered, guys. So thanks for submitting that question. And you got Coach Brian Wiggins here just gave you the answer. So we might see the energy at some point, like you said, you know, right? Time will tell.
Yes, sir.
As with anything in women's tackle football, time will tell. Coach, I really appreciate you making the time for me. It's an honor to talk to you. Really awesome, legendary franchise as well in terms of women's tackle football, in terms of historical sense. And you guys have put a really good program year in, year out. Your program's always been very competitive, playoff caliber type of, franchise. And I think, you know what, we got you in here for that. And I really appreciate you giving us all the insights as well with the Nevada feel for it as well. So wish you well here in the next 2 weeks. Should be able to figure out where the WFA brackets show up here, but I'm pretty sure your team will be up there as well.
Awesome. Man, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. You got an awesome podcast, man. And if I can ever do anything in the future, let me know. Would love to come on again if time permits. But, man, keep up the great work. And, again, thanks for having me on today. Appreciate it.
Always welcome, Coach Wiggins. Just let me know when you want to come on. And I'm looking forward to chatting. Always football, right? Everybody wants to chat football, especially if we chat women's football. So thank you again. Continued success here in the next 2 weeks. Injury-free, hopefully. And, shout out to your quarterback and to your running back and the whole offensive line. They're making it happen in the Houston Energy. So as they say down south, I was told, go Energy.
There you go. Thank you, sir. Y'all have an awesome rest of the day, man. I'll be listening into the other part of the podcast. So take care, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Coach Brian. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye. All right, guys, that was Coach Brian Wiggins, head coach of the Houston Energy. Also, just getting it done. And needed to bring him in here because they are, like, number two ranked in the WFA. And we got to give him a spotlight here. Really good program over the years. Every year, year in, year out, whether they make the playoffs or not, they're right there on the cusp of making the playoffs. And when they do make the playoffs, they really are very competitive in terms of schemes, in terms of the game. So, you know, shout-out to him. Shout-out to all his players out there, and can't wait to see where they're going to land in terms of the WFA bracket. So awesome. We're going to go into the next interview in the Monkey Knife Fight Huddle, and that we're going to be talking to the talented Adriana Gutierrez of the San Diego Rebellion, the nine cup runners up, and they are looking to go back to face the elite Spartans as we speak today. So the undefeated Rebellion is what we need to say. So let's bring in Adriana here in a second.
Fight is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.
Don't forget, guys, go to Monkey Knife Fight, use the code NJF, supports our podcast, get a $5 free play. You can, if you're more inclined to go more or less, you can do NBA, MMA, NFL in the fall. If you get it right, you make $15 on our $5 free play. So check it out, monkeyknifefight.com. Use the code NJF. Let's bring in the talented top running back in the WNFC as well, and that is the Rebellion's Adriana Gutierrez. Adriana, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, Oscar. How are you?
How are we doing, 27? I think we're gearing up, I would say, for the playoffs here, the Nine Cup Chase. Once again, looking to Texas.
Yes, absolutely. We're looking forward to it.
How has the season gone so far, Adriana, from last year? I mean, take us through the downswing of losing to Texas and then the off season to get to this grind again, to go through this 8 weeks. And it looks like you guys have done some adjustments. And, I mean, this offense, I don't know about you, but when you watch it on Vire Sports yourself, you add Regina Escoto on top of that this season. It's like a dual backfield. Not that, you weren't the focus, but now it's like a double threat.
Absolutely. Yes, last year we lost to Texas in the championship game, and it hurt. You know, that pain is still there. It's something that is kind of embedded in all of our heads, and we won't forget that pain. And so going into off-season training, we individually and as a unit just worked really hard, was in the weight room, and started preparing for the season pretty early on. And this year just feels a lot more organized, a lot more just intense, and just focusing on details. And every game, it's, you know, we're trying to get better every game. The ultimate goal is to win somehow, some way, find a way to win. And I think that we proved that last game when we played Vegas. They gave us a really good look, and we came out with the win, and that was our goal. And then, our offense is just every game just getting better, progressing, and the growth and the development is there. And then you have Regina, who's from Mexico, and she's come out, and she's just a force, you know, to be reckoned with. And we both give each other some good relief time. It keeps us both fresh. And so no matter who's in the game, we can, you know, our teammates, our coaches, I think they have a lot of belief in us that we'll find a way to get the job done.
Now, Adriana, last year you guys get to face the Spartans literally on a different level. The first time you face the Spartans, I'm told by everybody, there's a little bit of intimidation. Once the game kicks off, now you get to see the reality of it, and you're able to make some adjustments. But what do you take away the game against Texas in terms of, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, okay, we could have done this different, and we probably could have done, you know, better in terms of a scoring aspect. But overall, I think when you take away the first look, because you're in the West, you don't get to see them twice a year as an example. You only get to see them that one time as an example in the final. So it's kind of tough to kind of, I guess you want to say, scope them.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year it was a lot of our first time being in a championship game. There aren't too many of our teammates or players who have won a championship ring, and so I believe that we were intimidated. We could have come in more prepared, and we didn't execute our game plan like we had planned for it. And you're right, we don't get to face them in the regular season, so the only thing we have is our scout film. And so that's a little tough, you know, but I think that it was a learning experience, and I think we learned a lot playing Texas. I mean, just playing that one game, I feel like I learned more in that one game about the progress that I needed to make as a running back than the whole season, you know. So I think that we are going to be more prepared going into playoffs and more determined and motivated than ever.
Hey, Adriana, how are you keeping yourself healed up? Is this the two-back system really working for you, you know, between, like you said, relieving between you and Regina? I mean, you guys are literally almost on the same type of feel in terms of running backs. I mean, you got speed, you got burst. You guys are able to open up the lanes and really take advantage of some of the gaps. So, you know, in terms of, like, this season, when you watch film, I think you guys offensively are more potent than you were last year.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Thank you for saying that. Last year I was on every special teams unit. I was on, you know, getting every snap of the ball. And so, I mean, I love it. Like, I will keep pushing through any injury, any pain. I did struggle with some injuries last year, but I just kept pushing, you know. So definitely having Regina here with us on the San Diego Rebellion is amazing. We both are very fresh, and like last year I was pretty banged up. And this year it's been, you know, knock on wood, it's been a good ride. We've definitely, like I said, just been very fresh and eager to get on the field and supporting each other. And it's been amazing to be playing with her.
Yeah, I know. And the two set back really, it's a different dimension for you guys, because I know last year when we were looking at it, everything went through Nenji. And at some point, you know, mm-hmm. you were down and you were not able to, you know, function in terms of offense. So it was all basically on her shoulders. This year, it seems like she can make the crucial plays when needs to be made. But in terms of, like, you know, you get the kickoff and you guys are on the first and third downs and going through the motions in terms of getting to the end zone, it's just nice to see yourself Like you said, and Regina kind of blend in as well on certain downs. Offensively, I think the offensive line has done a way better job than they did last year. You look at the film, you guys are burst, you guys are edges, you guys are taking advantage of a lot of the things that some of these other teams are giving you. And all these wins, Adriana, have not come easy in the West. And it's like I think a lot of people don't realize that the West is literally battle-tested almost 8 weeks. And so it's tough to be fresh for that ninth week, you know, in terms of the playoffs, and then you try to get into the finals. So by the time you get to the finals, it seems like, if you're in the West, you've already been crushed and battled by the time you get to the finals.
Absolutely. I feel like, are a triple threat right now with Regina in, with myself in, and Ninji too. Like, you have to plan for that. We all three can run the ball, and we are all hungry for, you know, fighting for inches is what I like to say is, you know, we're not going to go down without a fight. We're going to keep going and going until we're down, you know, and then we're going to get right back up. But as far as our O-line, man, I have never been a part of a team where my O-line is as invested as they are right now. These girls, they work so hard. They communicate so well. They just strive for perfection. And I hear it. I see it. And they're putting the work in their playbooks. They have their own, you know, offensive line Zoom meetings that they attend. And they're just really, you know, they shine, we shine. And so I really clap it up to them because they just keep going and they're grinding.
Adriana, the Battle of Las Vegas, I think that is the rivalry for the Rebellion, not to discredit Los Angeles, not to discredit Seattle and all them, but Dion Lee out there in Vegas, I mean, they probably have you guys on a dartboard. You know what I mean? They want that win against San Diego. The test against San Diego is an example. So it's going to be tough, this whole playoff mode. For you guys, because you guys are obviously the Pacific champs, everybody's basically eyeing to take you guys down in the first round, as an example. You get through here next week, the week of the 21st, you guys are taking on the Legends, and they would love nothing more than to give you a blemish for the year and then go into the playoffs that way. But, you know, it's going to be a kind of a battle of Southern California, and that's become a little bit of, you know, we need that rivalry too, not just the Vegas rivalry, but the Southern Cal rivalry too. So, It's nice to see that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I don't think a lot of people credit for the West for how many good teams we have on the West, you know, side. Every team, I mean, just being a part of the WNFC in general, the growth of the WNFC and the development is just making their growth and development helps us as players grow and develop. And so teams are working harder. Teams are gunning for us. You know, they are scouting us, like you said, to a T. And so we know people are coming for us. And if they get better, we get better. You know, every game we both help each other. And that's ultimately what we want from women's football is to just keep showing the world, like, look how close these games are. Like, that's a game. Those are women playing football, you know? And so that's the main goal.
Now let's go on the other side before, you know, I know we're interviewing you, but let's just give credit where credit is due. Whatever you guys are feeding or not feeding this defense, I mean, they are just been monsters, even from last year. Through almost 4 weeks in, besides the 21 points given up in Vegas out of the whole year.
Yeah.
So, you know what? If you guys are keeping the cookies away from them, they're definitely, you know, not happy.
Yes, our defense is stacked. We are so lucky to have so many players on our defense that they either coach or they've been playing for a very long time now. So they know what they're doing and they're not afraid to play with some, you know, attitude, some spunk. And they just go out there and they are so determined to not just our teammates, but our coaches too. They really have been working hard at practice and they want zeros on the board because you know, there's a lot of people who think that our last year, our run to the championship was kind of a fluke. And so I think that they have really taken that, you know, that this role on of being a dominant defensive team. They've just been riding with it. And so they are amazing. And we're really lucky to be playing with them, you know, offense and defense. We've just been complimenting each other, and they put us in great position most of the time to get in the red zone. And so we couldn't do it without our defense.
All right. Well, you got the Nugent clan, you got Tyler, you got Austin Bean out there. Just a lot of angry people on that side that do not like to give up scoring. You know what I mean?
No. No, they're hungry, and that's what you want from your teammates. You want them to be on the field and, you know, trust that they're going to get the job done, and that's what they do. And, you know, like I said, we want zeros on the board, but the ultimate goal is to always find a way to win. And so they just have high expectations for themselves, and they're doing the job.
Yeah, no, it's been great. You know, Austin is doing great on the receiving end. You got Ebony Chambers. Yourself at times contributing in terms of the passing game as well. So it's been kind of a blend. You got Katie Ott involved as well there. So just a bunch of a mixture. But your team really has flourished this year, I think, in a lot of ways, where you look at film and every game, every quarter, you know, the red zone's improved. You guys have been able to put points up. It's just a nice season so far. So hopefully it culminates in Texas, right?
Sorry, what was that?
So hopefully you guys can be able to, you know, punch it in Texas.
Yes, absolutely. We're getting ready for that, you know, championship run. And like you said, we have a lot of really good players offensively, and we are just improving in the passing game. Our running game is improving. And so we're excited. We're very hungry.
Yeah, no, and Brandon's done a good job, you know, taking ownership of last year. Really, you know, fine-tuning the team here, the international additions. We even talked about, I think it's Meloxos, if I'm correct on, is it Melissa or Melina, I'm sorry, Melina Meloxos.
Melina, yeah.
Yeah, from overseas as well. So you guys got, like, kind of a little international backfield there as well, including yourself. So triple threat in a lot of ways. So that's great. So looking forward to this weekend. We are looking at the Legends this week in Adriana. So any insights you can give our fans and how this will turn into a W for the Rebellion?
No insight just yet. You know, we do a good job at scouting. Our coaches really help us, you know, prepare. We get scouting reports and we watch Zoom. And, you know, I'm in the car right now. We have practice a little later on tonight. So I'm sure we'll hear the rundown about how we're preparing for LA, what adjustments will be made. And like I said, just finding a way to get a win, finish the season undefeated is what we plan to do.
Now, on the other flip side, your family gets to see you live. They got to see you live last year. Now they get to see you live, but more fresh. So how's that experience for the family in terms of watching you just ball out?
They love it. They come to every game. They're supporting me. They also, you know, grandma and my aunts and uncles and cousins, they actually came out, flew out to Seattle to watch a game because I have some family from Oregon. So they made that drive, and they've been amazing. They've just been so supportive of me, and anything I need, you know, I talk football all the time with my dad. I talk his ear off sometimes, and he's just been so great with me and helping me, you know, just giving me confidence and motivating me and encouraging me. So I'm so lucky to have them.
That's good to hear because, you know, that's the nucleus sometimes in terms of getting, you know, motivated on a weekly basis, especially when you have injuries. It's even a lot more, you know, impactful to have that support system. Adriana, we didn't talk about your background, but is football, was it always this, or did you start in, you know, what other sport did you play before, you know, you got onto the Rebellion squad?
So I grew up playing soccer. I've been playing soccer since I was four, and that's pretty much been my main sport. As I got into high school, I ran track as well. I did a year of t-ball when I was younger, a year of basketball, but pretty much it's been soccer has been my main sport, my first love. It wasn't until my sophomore year in college that I found out about women's football from another former teammate who I used to play soccer with. And so I tried out in 2017 for the San Diego Rebellion and, I mean, sorry, excuse me, the San Diego Surge. And I've just been hooked ever since. I've had really big dreams for myself since day one and really have just been a student of this game. This game has definitely not, it's not been easy for me. I wouldn't say that I have, you know, there's players out there that just have natural talent. And this game has been very hard on me physically and mentally, but I've stayed with it. And, you know, I think it's showing.
No, for sure. I mean, you're very talented overall, and your highlights are obviously proof right there. It's just, you know, it's been transition, right? Feed shows in there because, you know, from your soccer days, it literally shows on there when you start bursting, when you start getting into the gaps and really getting those big chunks of yardage. So it's a, you know, a credit to you to just, you know, like you said, stay on it and really, you know, focus on it and study it and things like that. What do you say of the playoff picture here? We got one more week. You get LA, and then we get into the playoffs. We don't know if you'll face Vegas. We have no idea what Utah and Oregon game is going to be out this next week. It's a crucial matchup right there, Utah, Oregon. We could see Oregon get in. So the playoffs now, the scenarios are starting to, like, you know, get your popcorn ready, right? Because you have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know, so far we've just been expecting to play Utah the first round of playoffs and then either Vegas or Denver the second round. But Oregon is doing really well, and, you know, they might squeeze in. And so whoever we're going to play for, I have full faith in our coaching staff. They'll get us prepared. We're really lucky that we'll actually be hosting the playoff weekend here in San Diego. So that helps us just, we don't have to travel like we did last year. And so I think we'll have a lot more time to prepare and our bodies will be rested. Luckily we've had, you know, bye weeks during the most, like, probably the most crucial times when we need a bye week the most. So I think we're feeling pretty fresh right now. We're excited and yeah, I can't wait.
Well, we can't wait to watch you on Vire Sports this coming weekend, taking on the LA Legends, your Rebellion squad, going full bore here, get the W, finish up the season strong. Then we're looking at the playoffs. So, Adriana, I really appreciate you making the time and getting back to me, set up the interview and quickly. I really appreciate you. We are excited to see what your Rebellion is going to do in terms of the playoff picture. Looking forward to maybe one more time get a crack at the 9 Cup.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, Oscar, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks again. Safe travels. Have a great practice tonight, and looking forward to this weekend against the LA Legends.
Yes, us too, Oscar. Thank you so much.
Have a great night.
You too. Have a good one.
All right, guys. That the talented Adriana Gutierrez of the San Diego Rebellion, as they're going to be taking on the Los Angeles Legends here this next coming week. What a matchup that's going to be. Looking forward to a W from Rebellion. LA, you know, has played tougher the last 3 weeks. I'm pretty sure they would love to give the Rebellion their first, loss of the season. So we'll see how that turns out. Let's bring in the Oracle of Women's Tackle Football, and that would be the backseat coach, Mark Simone. Mark, Adriana, ready for the Legends. Legends looking for an upset, trying to give that blemish Rebellion their first loss of the season before the playoffs.
I love to hear it. Yeah. I think they're ready. I think they're going to take care of the Legends, but I think, you know, Legends are going to put up a good fight. You know, they're not a bad team. They're probably not, you know, they're not in the playoff picture, but a big win could could help their cause. So I'm looking forward to that one.
Yeah, and I think if you're Los Angeles, right, you got nothing to lose, right, Mark? It's just let's try to take down this team that is ready to go into the playoffs. So, but they, you know, they're talented, Mark. Like I just said to her, Regina, they bring in Regina Escoto. They bring in, I think, Melina Malaxos overseas. Fresher legs, as she said before, than last year. Nenji not doing as much as she did last year. She's more into crucial situations, which in the red zone. So they got a lot of pluses on offense, more than they did last year.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I think they're a little bit of a different team from last year. And I think one that's better. Clearly, they're the class of the Western Conference. And so if you're the L.A. Legends, you know, it's your last game of the season. You're going to play for pride. You're going to play for fun. You're going to play to win and see how they stack up. You know, this is the Legends' sort of first season under that moniker. So you know that they want to finish strong and be able to take all those lessons learned into the next season.
Yeah, I talked to Dana Zeich. She's ready on defense. She would love nothing more than give the Rebellion their blemish at the end of the season here. So we're looking forward to that. I mean, we know that the Rebellion D is no joke, so you know, they played really good. They play really good ball. Mark, you anticipate Dion Lee would like to get another crack at the Rebellion.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's no doubt about that. And you know, that's definitely a matchup I wouldn't mind seeing in the playoffs. You know, at some point, we'll have to see how you know the seeding shakes out and where teams end up. But yeah, I think you feel like. You know, they let one kind of slip away.
Mm-hmm.
They were right in it. They were right there. So, you know, they want another crack at the Rebellion.
And that one would be for all the Marvels, right? That's even more important. That one would be for the Marvels. In other words, you move on. And it's not just for the season win. It's basically the, you know, for the playoff push.
Let's go
international. A couple things that we haven't talked about. You guys go to the hub, facebook.com/GridironBeauties, get the lowdown on everything that's happening in the game, including overseas. So we're going to go right there. Let's go north. We got week three matchup battle here coming up this week. Lethbridge taking on Edmonton Storm. The last 2 weeks have been really cool. The Manitoba Fearless taking down Regina Riot. That was surprising.
Yeah, that caught me off guard. I wouldn't have expected that. That's a huge win for Manitoba. They must be so psyched. You know, the Riot are perennially, you know, one of the toughest teams in Canada. And so to come out and hand them a pretty solid defeat, that's really great for that Manitoba squad.
Yeah, and Saskatoon just keeps rolling. Just like anything else, they just 59-0. They get their nice donut win right there. They keep rolling. I think it's going to be a battle once they face week three. There's only one matchup this week, and that's the Edmonton Lethbridge. But week four is going to be interesting in terms of the WWCFL, so interesting there. In Maritime, St. John got the win as well. So we'll dive into the Maritime in the next couple weeks here as we get deeper into the season. If you go south, Mark, we got the live stream of Pumitas against the Lobos at Toluca in the semifinals. And obviously, we already know Pumitas just the dominant team in FX football in terms of Mexico. So the semifinals are now finished. Mayas also win on the other side. So we get the 11th championship now. It will be Mayas football taking on Pumitas this coming week on the 22nd.
Yeah, and these two teams are clearly the best teams in FXF Mexico. And they for the semifinals, they came out to play. They both shut down their competition, you know, two shutouts in the semifinals, which is pretty unusual. Usually when you get to a semifinal situation, you know, you see some pretty close games. Not in this case. The Pumitas and the Mayas, they came to play 26-0. For the Pumitas over the Lobos, 32-0 for the Mayas over the Raiders. So that sets up a very good final in FXF Mexico.
It's going to be interesting to see how Andrea Romero, the focus point of the Pumitas, how she breaks out in this game, because they're just at another level. Not to discredit the Mayas, but the Mayas will have to bring their A game if they really want to take down the Pumitas and a big upset here in the final.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the Mayas are going to have to find a way to put a load of points on the board, which is going to be tough because the Pumitas have only given up 20 points the whole season. Got a very stout defense, and we know that they can roll up points. So, you know, unless the Mayas somehow come up with a game plan to really hold the Pumitas offense down, like, they're going to have to find a way to score some points.
Yeah, I just anticipate it's going to be the championship that's going to go to Pumitas at this point. I mean, unless we get something different, it just seems like they're the ones. They're on a different level at this point. All season they've been trending really well. Mark, week one in the Finnish Maple League, impressive return by Tampere this season, an early upset by Helsinki against Turku. That was interesting to see, and given the fact that I don't think they had their top running back in Leah Kosla either. So there was a couple players missing on the Turku side, which I think kind of benefited the Wolverines. And then Maleki Bouncers also get their win. You get the article right there by gentifitis.fi in terms of the breakdown, in terms of the week one scope in Maple League. So some interesting results in week one.
I think the Maple League, you know, outside of the U.S. and Canada, certainly, you know, one of the most well-run and longest-running leagues around. It's just exciting. They're also going to have Division Two and Division One and Division Two football, in addition to, you know, what is the elite league called the Maple League. So, the Trojans were the champs last year, but they end up getting shut out by the Wolverines, which is maybe not such a great surprise because we know that the Helsinki Wolverines historically are, one of the strongest teams around in the Maple League. So, for the Trojans to come out, score no points, it's a kind of a tough way to start the season. But as we say, you know, it's just the first week of the season, and we've got a lot of football ahead of us in Finland, and I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, Tampere really, took care of business here, 44-28. It was 22-6 at the half against Loyola Linuses. A shout-out to Lota Anonen, who was the first two scores for the Tampere Saints. So it was a really good matchup there. So they get the win. Impressive. Loda's a really good player. I think she was the player of the year last year as well. So pretty interesting there. And then the Wolverines took revenge on the Trojans. Finalists at this point, they've always clashed. Trojans have never had really success until last year. So it was basically a battle of it's a rivalry battle in a lot of ways. The Wolverines took care of business behind S.C. Söderholm and Laura Enamo, so really good. And then up in Urpola, Maleki, the Bouncers took a really nice win against West Coast, 14-0. They edged them at this point. It was Amelia Kempi and Nina Suttinen. So pretty awesome weekend. We'll keep tabs on that, you guys, week to week. Probably one of the best, as Mark alluded here, one of the best series in terms of leagues in Europe. The Finnish league is pretty top-notch as well, and then Helsinki has always been dominant, sort of like Boston has been in the WFA.
They're sort of the big bully on the block. They're the ones, that's the team that everybody in the Maple League is gunning for. And So another season's underway, and we'll see if Helsinki can, reclaim the crown from the Turku Trojans, who won it, I think, in a bit of an upset last year.
Now we go to Sweden, Mark. Week four, I believe, Göteborg Marbles remain undefeated at 3-0. They get a 30-6 victory against Lingham Griffins. They have a big test coming up this weekend, Mark. They will take on Örebro. So this will be an interesting matchup if they can take down Örebro.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look at the record, you know, the Marbles are 3-0, so they look pretty stacked, but they haven't really been playing much of the tough teams. The teams that they've played are kind of at the bottom of the standings, the Norrköping Panthers, the Lindholm Griffins, twice. However, you know, one advantage that Göteborg has is that, you know, they've been playing football for like 3 weeks in a row, and they get a break before they face the Örebro Black Knights. And the situation with the Black Knights, we know that they're a strong team. They're 1-1 on the season. They dropped one to the Karlstad Crusaders, who, you know, are the top team in that league historically. But the thing is, the Örebro Black Knights, it's been over a month since they played Karlstad, and they haven't played any other games. So that's a long time not to play a football game. So I don't know if
and
that's
a little bit
like
of rust, to your point.
Yeah,
could
possibly
to them, right?
Yeah. So I mean, that could be a factor in this matchup, between the Marbles and Black Knights.
Yeah, that could be a big key in terms of how that outcome will turn out. Also, week four in Sweden, Women's Division One, Arlanda just routing Västerås 54-14. You get highlights right there of both matchups at the hub at facebook.com/grindbeauties. Pretty awesome weekend in Sweden for both games. Also, basically, like I said, WWCFL, which was 59-0. I think it was Valkyries taking down the Wolfpack as well. And then you also get highlights right there of Manitoba with that impressive win, edging Regina Riot 33-31 in courtesy of the Manitoba football feed. So thanks to them for providing that as well. So we'll get previews plus post-game matchups, recaps. Normally in Sweden and Finland, Mark, it's really nice that they do a preview of the matchups and then they do a post-recap. So, shout out to them for keeping us informed every week.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see. And as someone who, you know, has done writing for, football teams, it's a lot of writing in addition to all the other stuff that, you know, they're writing about the league. And so to get those previews and recaps is really something of a luxury, I think. We take it for granted, of course, when you look at like big leagues like the NFL or whatever, you know, you've got a lot of sources of information before and after the game. But, in the women's league with resources, you know, being kind of spread a little more thin, it's definitely a luxury to be able to get pregame and postgame analysis from the leagues and the teams and whoever else is pushing content.
It's really nice to have that. They've always done well in terms of Sweden and the Finnish leagues. They've always been able to, you know, provide content almost equally to the men's recaps and previews, so it's nice. Mark, let's step down to the youth level. So the finals for the high school in terms of the Utah Girls Football League. Check out some of the Utah League junior high and high school championships. They're going to happen, I believe, this weekend. So shout out to the Utah Girls Football League.
Well, yeah, big time. I mean, that's really fantastic to see, and it's just very exciting. And you know, now with social media and proliferation of video, you know, we get to be able to see some of that. So that's very exciting. Good luck to everybody.
And then over in Manitoba, week two in Manitoba of the Girls Football Association, Nomads take down the Mustangs 14-12. We'll also be following that at 6 week matchups there as well. So we got some still photos there from the Manitoba Girls Football Association concerning the Mustangs and the Eagles on May 12th. So that's really cool. Shout out to Rita Mills for the game photos right there to keeping us informed. And then, Mark, the other matchups, the finals in this WFA weekend, Arlington. And the storyline has to be this Cali War not having their – no Wiggins, having no Salerno. and putting in a defensive tackle at quarterback. So I don't know what's going on there, but we can all just, I guess, speculate, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can – yeah, I mean, I guess all we can do is speculate and look at the result. They played the game. They played who they had. But hats off to Arlington because they took care of business. The Impact, like, they just went in there and mopped them up. And that's very impressive for, you know, also defensively to a team that just scored like over 50 points, like in the last game, in a Cali
Mark,
war.
If you go from beating Nevada, Cali, to now like being basically a MASH unit in Texas, I don't know what to say about that. You know what I mean? You just came off this huge, you know, 50 burger, almost 100 plus scoring game, and all of a sudden, you know, you go on the road and the intensity has dropped. Completely. It's just I don't know what's going on there in terms of the quarterback situation there. I don't know if she couldn't travel. I have no idea what Salerno's, you know, situation is, whether she's on the team or not at this point. And then putting in Jackie, I think her name is Jackie Robinson, at the helm short term like that, it's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, she is a good football player. She also plays tight end, mm-hmm. and she's really good at catching the ball. She's usually on the other, you know, on the receiving end of passes, and she's great with her size. She's hard to bring down. She does have a good hand, and she's a good football player. But, you know, she's not a first-string quarterback, and it's just very clear to me that Kelly didn't have the person, you know, that was who they – that's the best person they had to play quarterback. Roster issues, always a tough thing to deal with, especially when you're traveling on the road. And, I'm pretty sure there are quite a few players on the Cali War who play on both offense and defense. So, I don't know if she was also playing defense. I don't know what kind of numbers the War had when they took to Texas. But clearly they were not up to the task on that day. And, they have to find some consistency, I guess. You know, I don't know exactly how to put it, but you obviously showed that you can be like a really big, you know, a really tough team in a tough situation there when they came from quite a ways behind to beat Nevada. But they really did not put up a good effort the following week. And so, you know, consistency has to be of a concern there. Whether it's,
yeah, you
got to
credit,
you know,
Arlington Dean for shutting down their offense and making it a one dimensional, and that's literally what happened. It's a totally, you know, it's night and day from the previous week in terms of the Cali War, and then this week. So, Mark, let's go to week 7. They're going to get Nevada, and Nevada is obviously they knew they had that win, and they're playing at home now in the storm area, and so. I don't know who's going to be at the helm at quarterback for Cali. Are we going to see Wiggins again? I mean, it's starting to feel like the situation with them is maybe she can't travel, with them.
Right.
And so I don't know if she's only traveling in California, as an example.
Right.
So there's – in terms of quarterback situation, I don't know who we're going to see, right? Are we going to see Salerno out of nowhere? Are we going to have Wiggins back in the helm against Nevada? I think either way, Nevada is not really going to care at this point because they're coming in to try to get their big home win, right? It's kind of a revenge win from that road loss.
Oh, absolutely. My gut tells me that Wiggins will be the quarterback. Possibly she wasn't 100%, and maybe they just intentionally did not let her go to Texas because they wanted her mm-hmm. to be healthy for this Nevada game. Which I can kind of understand, but, you know, at the same time, you know, you got to get that dub against the Impact. I feel confident that Wiggins will be in that game. And as you say, regardless who's playing quarterback for the Cali War, the Nevada Storm's going to be ready. They're going to be prepared for whomever they put out there.
For sure. And that's probably the marquee game of the week in terms of the WFA schedule. We have 25 games in week 7. And I think that's the marquee game of the week, Mark. Do you think, am I off base here? I think that's it, besides Boston and D.C. reality. And then Dallas and Houston? I'm giving it probably the nod to Houston at this point because I don't think Dallas is at that D1 level, and we talked about that a long time. And then it's Pittsburgh-Detroit on a rivalry swing in terms of D1. Pretty much it, I think, a bottom line. And then you got Minnesota-St. Louis.
Yeah, I mean, I think I do think Cali, Nevada is definitely a game to watch, but it could go in any direction. It could end up being, could end up being a blowout. I kind of think this St. Louis Minnesota game might be the one to watch. I don't know if that's
Boston
going to be streamed or not, but that's the one I would be looking for.
So that's a good sign for them. We'll see how they can stake, with Minnesota, their rivals, their natural rivals with Minnesota at this point. What do you say of Boston, D.C., a must-win for the Divas? And this is tough. So if you're Ken Cagnaldi and you're Cook and everybody on D.C., this is your biggest game of the year.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially, since they dropped that game to Tampa, they really feel like, there's a little bit of added pressure, I think, to try and get this win against Boston. So that's a very tough task. I think I like the Divas a lot, and I'm not sure that 100% on the health tip in terms of their marquee players, although they are playing very well. I think it could be a game for a while, but I think in the end, Boston's, probably going to be running away with it there in the fourth quarter. So, hey, it's a rivalry game, so you never really know what's going to happen. But you definitely know that everybody's going to be playing hard. So there's that.
Yeah, that's the one key. In D2. We also have some matchups. You got Tri-State taking on, I believe, New York Wolves, one of the key matchups there as well. And then the other game, I think we have, what's the other game on the board here? Let's find out. Let me look it down. Did I take it away? Yeah, I took it away already. Let me go back to what my schedule was here. Let's find out here. D2, week 7. Who else do we have? D2, D7, Mark. D3. Carolina, Phoenix, Orlando. That one is 4-1 against 3-1. That's probably the marquee game of D3.
I think so. That would have playoff implications, possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's it. And then Music City taking on East Tennessee. There's another one there that we could watch. I think Grand Rapids gets past Midwest. Shouldn't be a problem there. Let's see. Nebraska, Iowa. Mac's team taking on Iowa. I think more of a crucial game for Iowa than it is for Nebraska, I think.
Yeah, and this is a rematch of, I think, their first or second game of the season, which Nebraska won. But I also feel like Iowa's, with a few more games under their belt, they're probably going to be a little bit more prepared for this game. So I think it might be closer this time around. But, yeah, I would definitely say that's definitely a big game, particularly for the Iowa Phoenix.
Now, Mark, before we get into WNFC here, I was looking at the Massey ratings before we came on here. So Boston, number one seeded. They got Minnesota on the west side, number one seeded. Then you got Arlington, number two seeded right now. Nevada, number 3, D.C., number 2 on the other side. So crucial must win for D.C. here. You got Cali War also in that mix. Tampa, if D.C. falls, I'm assuming by default, then Tampa gets to be the number 2 seed if we stand right now. And then you got Pittsburgh right there in the mix as well. If we jump over to D2, it's Mile High Energy. Then it's New York. I think it's – I want to say Baltimore, if I'm correct. New York, Baltimore for that sense. And then probably Nebraska on the other side. But D3, let's dive into D3 here for a couple minutes here. So D3, Mark, the standout, let me see here, on the Massey's is Oklahoma City, which we have been kind of raving about in the last couple weeks. And then it's Grand Rapids. So Oklahoma City, Grand Rapids. Then we look at Carolina, Phoenix, Arizona back in the mix in terms of the Massey's. Then we got Virginia, Music City, Capital City. So a little bit wide open here, but besides those two teams. But Oklahoma City for sure stands out, and obviously Grand Rapids.
Yeah, teams have been very impressive this year. They're both undefeated so far. Oklahoma at 5-0, Grand Rapids at 4-0. I think we expected, just based on their play last year, that Oklahoma City would probably be a contender in this season. Grand Rapids has surprised me quite pleasantly. They're undefeated. My early pick for the East Capital City Savages, and Grand Rapids just handed them a defeat like it was nothing. So I'm very impressed with Grand Rapids, and I have yet to really see them on tape or anything. So I'm really on tape. How old am I, right? On video.
Sure.
I'd really like to see that. I think the as usual, the playoff picture for the D3 is always pretty intriguing. So maybe Grand Rapids can make that run all the way to the final. There are a lot of pretty good teams in the East. You know, you got Music City. They've been trying to get there for a while now, and they're in the thick of it. Of course, Capital City's still there. The New York Knockout is also undefeated. And, you know, Orlando, always pretty dangerous. I kind of think the Zydeco a little bit underrated too. So a lot of good teams in the East. But how about Oklahoma City though? I mean,
yeah,
they've been lights out. They've been lights out.
And then, they took their schedule, Mark, and they took down Dallas, right? They've taken down competition that they've above themselves. So interesting to see how the Massey's will shake up and how the bracket will shake up for D3 as the road to Canton. So we're going to keep tabs on D3 in the next couple weeks as well. We're also going to get some guests in here from some of the teams that are in the mix for the playoff run. So it's going to be interesting to interview them as well and see get their take in terms of, where they feel like they're going to end up at as well. So pretty interesting to see. So we're going to shift over to the WNFC, Mark. And what a game. Texas, Alabama. Hats off to the Fire. They came to play. One crucial decision, okay, instead of punting for a field goal, we wanted to go for the two-point jugular. And that, if you're a coach right now, you are apologizing big time.
Yeah, I mean, I was pretty shocked when I saw that play. Now, in that situation, it's late in the game. You've just scored a touchdown. The score is 14-13. As I said, late in the game. Me personally, I'm okay with whatever decision they wanted to make in terms of if they wanted to go for one and tie it up, or line up and go for two to try and win it. They decided to go for two on a fake PAT kick, which I think it might have been the worst decision you can make in that moment. If you're going to go for two, just, I say line up for two. The risks that you take when you, snap the ball long. All right. First of all, the person who catches it is like now very far away from the goal line. So not only are they far away from the goal line, but, anything could happen. That snap could go anywhere, right? It could go over the head, I just think fake PATs have such a low success rate. that it was not the
overrated
right decision
word,
in that
Mark.
Situation. What's that?
Overrated is the word. They're overrated.
You know,
should not be
I,
in your playbook.
You know,
especially against the elite Spartans. That should not be in your playbook. I'm sorry. You go up against Texas, I think the announcer said it best. You should have, like you said, Mark, you should have lined up and take your chances that way.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if it didn't go in, you know, that's one thing, you know, it's the same as missing the kick. If it goes wide or something like that, that's a bummer. Right. But at least you had a chance on those two things, that fake field, that fake kick that had no chance at all. So whatever. I think sometimes, you know, when you're playing a team like the Dallases or the Bostons of the world, if you have a chance, you know, you might try and think that you have to do more than you actually have to do. Try and do something exotic or complicated, resort to some sort of trickeration. When your best bet is probably just to, you know, try and do something simple. But you know what? Hopefully, you know, the coaching staff of the Fire have, you know, examined that play, examined that decision, and, you know, have taken some lessons from it, some strategies for the next time they're in that sort of a situation. I'm sure they're doing that.
It was a fine game
they played.
Alabama really step up to that level where defensively they were keeping the Spartans at bay. They were really good on defense. Defensively, a little bit to desire besides that one mistake that they probably make, and they probably own it now. But you know what? The defense did play a very key game, but, you know, Kay Mitchell also was there. So the leadership on defense, the return of her presence, really kept this game close, and I think that was a key. And you guys get to see her right there at the Facebook, at the Hub, when she said, hey, we probably just got away, you know, they got away with the W, right? Because they made their bad call. To your point, they line up, maybe they get a shot. But that's the breaks. But she knows, you know, the next time they line up, there's probably a similar situation. So, you know, Texas gets that one-point win, stays undefeated. But, you know, shout-out to Alabama for, making it competitive at this point. Mark, Philadelphia played a better game against Mississippi. Mississippi still not able to find an offensive kind of rhythm sense with Housen. Jackson out of the picture there. The great catch by Ida Handel there in the end to bring that ball down. Big difference there. So they get the win 24-8 against Philadelphia. So an impressive win by them. But, you know, credit Philly for trying to, like, keeping it close for two quarters here. Much improved.
You know, a step forward is a step forward. And, you know, being late in the season, it's been a rough season for the Phantoms. So, you know, they have to make it. You know, they're not going to the playoffs. They know that. But, you know, you're still playing the games. Got to make them count. You got to learn. You've got to move forward. And hopefully we'll see better from the Phantoms next year.
Mark, if you're Washington overconfident, I think you should just refocus on the playoffs now, because that 39-0 win against Florida, not much of a benchmark. But you have had your benchmark when you went against Texas, so a lot of work to do in the next 2 weeks here for the playoffs if you're going to get past the first round.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I see, yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you know, the prodigy statement game was a little earlier in the season, and you know, a win against the Avengers isn't going to do much for them in terms of their, you know, their ranking, and so yeah, they just have to be getting ready for the next game, stay focused, try and block out all the noise. You know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, the rating system and, you know, who's going to get into the playoffs. And all that stuff, it's just out of their hands. You know, they just have to prepare for the next game, and that's all they got to do.
Mark, if you're Utah, you just gave a game away. I mean, you should have been able to win this game against Denver. You do not win this game against Denver, and now you're forced to play Oregon with nothing to lose, and you got to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, you know, credit to the Bandits. You know, I think it frustrates us as, you know, fans and football analysts, but to see the way they win games the way they do, it's not pretty. Every game has been kind of ugly. But, hey, they've won the games. You know, I'm sure Utah, you know, is disappointed that they didn't come out with a W against Denver last week. It was another close game, but nothing you can do about it now. As you say, you know, to keep their, you know, keep themselves in the playoffs, they really got to come up with an impressive win over the Ravens. You know, and I'm pretty sure they have it in them. Ravens are tough on defense. It's kind of been their calling card, but it's tough for the Falcons to be in that situation, but I think they'll respond positively and pull out a victory.
Given you got Jamison and Magana in the backfield, the structure on this team has to be different. This is a must win for Utah. You know, must win for our Holly Custis, and that's her last regular season game. If they don't make the playoffs, that literally is the final rally for her. So you know, shout out to Holly Custis, great career so far. Awesome co-host on this podcast for several years, and so you know, I wish her a W. Hopefully that they'll pull it off, get herself into the playoffs, and you know, go that route versus the other way, which is to not get the win and end up that way in terms of a loss. But you know what? This is the marquee game that I think for week 8 in the WNFC, Mark, I think this is the game we're all going to be watching. Can Oregon take down the Falcons?
Yeah, that's right. You know, I mean, these are a couple teams that they're on a bubble, and like a big win can really change their, you know, change their fortunes this season. So I definitely feel like, you know, of all the matchups that are here, you know, this is the game that probably has the most at stake, you know, for the teams that are playing it.
Yeah, because I don't think L.A. and San Diego, even if San Diego falls, Mark, there's no change there. San Diego's moving on. L.A. will get a pride win, basically, right? There's no ramifications there beyond that, even if they lose one. So that's the key. Seattle could be the team that sneaks and gets Denver down because they got nothing to lose. But we've seen, like you said, Mark, to your point, we've seen Denver win ugly. Could be another ugly win.
It could. I kind of feel like Denver will be able to open up the offensive playbook and score more points than 7 or 9. Or 12. so I think Denver will get it done, and you know, hopefully,
Terry Lister, we need some scoring. Terry Lister, you're listening.
Yeah.
Our co-host, Terry Lister. We need some scoring, right? But that hasn't happened yet. So
it would be good for the Bandits to, you know, get an offensive rhythm, a new offensive rhythm going. You know, one that puts a few more points on the board as they head into the playoffs.
Mark, let's finish up here. There's no ramifications for the rest of the matchups because if you look at it on paper, you look at it in terms of film, Mississippi should get a win against Houston. Sleeper maybe here? Could Houston, nothing to lose, could get their first win. Philly played pretty tough against Mississippi. They couldn't find their offensive rhythm, but they still get the win in the second half. So there's a game there that you know, could somewhat backfire on Mississippi when it should be an automatic win. Vegas against Phoenix, same situation here. They got to stay focused, get this W. What else do we have? Oh, Atlanta against Philly. Well, it's just going to be a scrimmage game basically for Philly, for Atlanta to get ready for the playoffs. I have to say that, unfortunately. And then Kansas City. This is it. Lauren Crouch. You know, Kiki, this is it. This is what you wanted. You want to finish the strong. You're in the playoff bracket, and if you can somehow be competitive in this game, more than likely you'll get to face Texas Elite down the stretch here. So, Mark, is this the game that we got to kind of watch and see and how well the Glory will fare?
Yeah, this is the other game that I was thinking would be, watchable, as it were, in terms of, you know, if there is an upset or a close game, you know, that can, I think, have ramifications, at least in the way we perceive these teams. Like, you know, if Kansas City can be competitive in this game against Texas, you know, obviously we'll look at Kansas City in a different light if they're keeping up with Texas. But then we're also thinking, well, this is two weeks in a row that Texas, you know, hasn't obliterated the other team. So what's up with Texas, right?
Yep.
So I will definitely be keeping tabs on this one. We'll see, you know. Kansas City is you know, pretty good. Want to see them, you know, see them in the playoffs. You know, they need to, you know, perform well in this game.
And this is a big test, I think, more so, Mark, for Kansas City, because they get to face this team in their regular schedule, right? So this is a opportunity for them to really make a statement, right? Because they get to face them twice. And you know, looking at the brackets, it could be three times. This is basically more of a prep game for a playoff matchup. So if you're Lauren Crouch and them, I mean, this is, like, to your point, Mark, you gotta make it competitive. You gotta get up for this game at a higher level than you normally would get, because this is your prep playoff game in a lot of ways.
Absolutely, it's kind of a freebie preview. You know, if you lose the game, you know, it doesn't necessarily, you know, count against you. I'm not to drive a dagger through your heart, Oscar. I'm reminded of the 2001 Patriots, New England Patriots, when they played the St. Louis Rams during the regular season, and I think St. Louis won like 21-7 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't a huge win, but you know, the Rams won, but that was, you know, that was the look that Belichick could get against a team that had just won a championship. And that was what allowed him to, you know, figure out a strategy when they faced up in the Super Bowl. So, you know, whenever you get to face the reigning champ during the regular season, it's such a big advantage for your team compared to other teams that don't face them. Right. Kansas City, you know, if they see them twice this year, they're more familiar with the Spartans than anybody else in the league this year. So, you know, the logic is when they get into the playoffs, you know, Kansas City, you know, probably has a better look at finding ways to win against Spartans than most other teams.
Now, if you take the blueprint that Alabama gave you last weekend against the Spartans, you might get a chance. You might have a chance if you don't botch the point after attempt, right? When you should try.
Maybe. Well, if it comes down to that, you know, I'll be like really very happy to see that level of competition, and hopefully they'll make a different call than the fake kick.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Mark, before we get out of here, so Utah, Oregon is what we're looking for. We're also going to keep an eye on whether L.A. somehow gives the Rebellion a blemish for the end of the season here, which we talked to Adriana Gutierrez, which in her eyes, not going to happen. And then we also have, you know, basically the Texas against Kansas City matchup here and what they can take away from the Alabama film. So, three games in terms of the slate of the WNFC for week 8, the final weekend of the WNFC, the playoff brackets have pretty much already been set. The final rankings are going to come out with the coaches poll, and we'll get the final rankings probably this coming you know, this coming Friday, it's going to be kind of a preview of the final. Then next week, we'll figure out exactly where everybody lands and what the playoff picture is going to look like in terms of, you know, the playoff seedings for the Nine Cup. So, Mark, interesting three games there. Everybody else, I mean, they should get the win, right, Mark? You know, Alabama against the Avengers. You got Atlanta as well. You got Mississippi should get the win, right? I mean, just if you're starting to look at that aspect of it. So the other teams, they got to get their W, finish it the season strong, and then figure out what the rankings are going to land. But the other three games that we just talked about, they really need to make an impact there. L.A. could surprise. Kansas City can, like you said, muster up maybe a better performance there. But I think everybody's going to be eyeing Utah, Oregon.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for the most part, this slate of games, we have expectations about who's going to win. It's that Oregon Ravens Utah Falcons game that looks to be the most competitive on the slate, and it's got the biggest impact for both of the teams that are in it.
And I think Sarah Gallica, I mean, that's a crucial performance game for her. This is gut check time for her as a quarterback, as an offense. Can they just get it done? If you're Daniel Trainer, in terms of the Ravens, Mark, I mean, this is a huge moment for you because this is a throw you over the top and make you relevant in the WNFC.
That's right. When the Bandits, the Denver Bandits, took down Utah in the first game of the season, it really woke everybody up, right? It opened a lot of eyes to the Denver Bandits, and now we expect them to be in the playoffs. We don't have any doubts about their deserving to be there. Compared to last year, right? Denver was on the bubble, and there's a lot of argument as to whether or not they belonged to the playoffs, right? It wasn't a consensus at all.
Yep.
So
yep.
Getting a win against a team like the Utah Falcons definitely legitimizes a team, if you will. And you know what? That's what comes when you've got a great program over the years, as the Utah Falcons have. You know, they've always been one of the best teams. So that's what you get when you play them. That's the opportunity you get when you play the Utah Falcons.
Yeah, I agree. Nate, sorry I had you on hold on here. I'm just trying to juggle some things here on the switchboard. But, Nate, this has got to be a big game. We got 2 minutes left here. It's a Northwest battle. This is it. WNFC, is Utah going to, move on? Or is Oregon going to get that upset and really make a statement here about this season? Because it's a must-win for Utah.
You both know that I love my upsets, but this time around, I got to go with our own Holly. This has got to be the swan song, and I want her to go out as big and strong as possible. So I'm pulling for Utah all the way. I think this is going to be a big game for them. I think they're going to go all out, and she's going to have an incredible performance.
Perfect. Yeah. So I think we're on board, right? We want the Hall of Famer to get that. Get the last regular season win, and then get into that playoff hunt as well. So really appreciate
Absolutely.
It. All right, guys. Thanks to Adriana Gutierrez. Thanks to Coach Brian Wiggins of the Houston Energy. Mark, it's been great. 1 hour talking women's tackle football like we always do. Nate, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it. We want to wish Holly a W. Want to wish Mac a W. And obviously, ultimately, Terry Lister a W. So for all our co-hosts, let's go get the W's this weekend. So should be an interesting weekend.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Get your popcorn ready, everybody.
All right. Mark, I will catch you next week as we break down the international scene. But Boston, D.C., Mark, that's where I'm going to be at as well.
Yep, I will be there. Thanks, Oscar.
Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to check out our podcast. Subscribe on Apple, iHeart, and Spotify. And like I said, thanks again to Adriana Gutierrez coming in here, the San Diego Rebellion running back. and Coach Brian Wiggins of the Houston Energy. So catch you here next week for 426 as the WNSC playoffs take effect in the rankings and the Massey ratings unravel the WFA playoff picture, D2, D3, and D1. Catch you here next week.
Is the fastest growing daily fantasy sports site in America. You get fun, easy to play contests with cash prizes featuring your favorite players. Monkey Knife Fight, daily fantasy sports for the rest of us. Sign up now and get an instant match on your first deposit up to $50.